Spirit. Amen. It's quite important and pertinent that we start out the way God started with us during the retreat. And so we will be looking at how God leads us. We'll find a title for it later, much later. But we want to address the seeming inconsistencies, because there are no inconsistencies, in how we said God speaks. You know, sometimes we think that there are confusion. And sometimes we ask ourselves, whose voice is this? Is this God's voice? Is this my voice? Is this the voice of the devil? So that you can quickly say, God forbid. So we look at all of that. And I think we'll just call it, whose voice is this exactly? Something like that. Are you ready? Matthew Gospel chapter 1. Don't forget what God told us about the new year. It's a year of fruitfulness. Amen. But then we received further instructions and we said, in this year we are going to take second looks, right? We are not going to be quick to conclude. You're not going to be quick to conclude. We are going to take second looks. And that connotes patience. Patience in the way you deal with people, in the way you deal with yourself too. Sometimes we're patient with others, but we're not patient with ourselves. We're not patient with ourselves. We think we should have done more. We think we should react more. And understand, it shows good ambition when you can call yourself out and say, why did you do that? But also in the other balance, that you have to be patient with yourself. God is patient with you. So you've got to be patient with yourself. You are in the building. Say you are in the building. So God is building you. And if you're wondering why you are facing so much troubles, be sure that the devil does not come for empty barrels. If you're facing that much trouble, it means you're on the right path. So calm down with yourself. Take second looks. We also said we'll be less reactionary, right? Be less reactionary. Oftentimes, many people just react. Something happens and you react. But that's not the way of wisdom. You would be less reactionary. Take a second look at it. Have a bird's eye view. Some of the things that you think are paramount today. Sometimes when you take a second look, you now discover that it's not that important. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I remember when I was in school, there was something I really wanted to achieve. I wanted to do it so much. Then after about 2 years, I looked at it again. I said, thank God I did not do it. Imagine. At the moment when I did not do it, I was pained. I'm not going to diverge more than that. I was pained and I was furious with myself. Why? Then after some years, I look back at it. In fact, let me give you one example. There was one time, I wanted to hold one conference like that. That's 2010. I wanted to hold one conference. I had a visitor yesterday in my house, one of my friends. He came in from the US. And he was reminding me of the way we grew up and some of the things. It was funny. The fiance was telling me how one of the teachings I taught her then. I remember that I was fighting her, so she came to my house. And then she was telling me, let those who are spiritually mature, let them with the spirit of meekness restore such a one to faith. You know Galatians, yeah? So she was quoting Bible for me. So that day I lambasted her. Because I was the Bible study teacher there. You are not the one. So she was not reminding me that, remember, Pastor, when you finished me one day like that, remember I even came to your house. After I finished at my house, she went for my king. I went to her house. See, I was not done. I remembered something. And so that year, I wanted to organize a conference. We used to call it World Conference. And I was going to teach about, she said I was teaching the blood of Jesus. So I gave them some very weird illustration about the blood of Jesus. But I wanted to progress the revelation. You know when you have killed the word, you have broken the word. Well, you now remember that there's a way you can say it again. It's nonsense I've been saying, no. So I now called for a word conference. Unfortunately, the venue wanted to use, someone sabotaged us, they got it and all that. So I was not able to have that conference. You know, 3 years later, I looked back and I said, thank God I didn't know that conference. I would have said, I looked at the note I wanted to use to teach. Hey, Allahu Akbar. If you see the content, I said, thank God. Thank God I didn't even teach it. Of course, now, If I thought it, it's part of our growth, it's part of our development, it's part of everything. But I just felt less poison, amen? I would have dashed out poison a lot. You know, and sometimes it takes a second look. As you mature, look at what Joseph said. He said to his brothers, what you thought for evil, God planned it for good. That is an afterlook. That's a statement from experience. That's a statement from patience. You know, at the point of the pit, he could have been thinking about his life and saying, no, nothing is happening, nothing is working. Then to the prison. I thought pit, his pit's not better. Now, to Potiphar's house. I'm now a slave. I was in the pit. I was a man of my own. I could go to the jungle and go and fetch food for myself. Now I'm in Potiphar's house. If they say there's no food till 6 p.m., there's no food. This is worse. This is worse. This is worse. Then they say, you're not saying worse. Prison. They be in Potiphar's house, you can decide to run away. Last, you'll be killed. Prison, you can't even run. In Potiphar's house, you can watch match. Champions League final. In prison, which prisoner watch Champions League final? You understand? But at the end, when you take a second look, sometimes that requires patience, like I said. He said, what you thought for evil, God meant it for good. Hallelujah. The second thing, we said what? You will show gratitude. You will be more appreciative. I'm just saying it again because it's quite important. What God told us, you will show more gratitude in this year. Be grateful for little things. What you call little, it's big. It's big. I know you are looking to pay your rent. I know you're looking to pay your school fee. I know you're looking to get admission. I know you're looking to get that contract. I know you're looking to get that business up and running. But thank God for your eyes. Thank God for your ears. Thank God for your lungs. Thank God for your liver. Thank God for the little things. Hallelujah. Have you had a serious catarrh before? Let me know if you have. You've had a serious catarrh before that you now started blessing God for ability to breathe well. I have had one before. And I said, Jesus, breathing well is underrated. You know, you start thanking God that if I can just breathe well, you know, thank God for the little things. And lastly, we said what? Be kind so that you can receive the same. Hallelujah. All right, let's talk about whose voice is this. Matthew Gospel chapter 1, verse 1. And this year is going to be very doctrinal. We should be growing spiritually. That means we should be able to have more. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I've told you before that means the person who is writing the book of Matthew expects that you have read what we call the Old Testament. That means you are familiar with David and you are familiar with Abraham. Of course, when he says David, that's the Psalms. When he says Abraham, that is Genesis, or basically Moses, the book of Moses. And so, it means that most of the things you are going to see about Jesus, listen very well, most of the things you are going to see about Jesus, you are going to see it from the prophets. Some people have an idea that Jesus started in the book of Matthew. So when you get born again, don't need to read any other book. Just go to the book of Matthew, start reading. No. Imagine someone just got saved and you start giving them the book of Matthew. And they see Solomon in all his wisdom. He's not a reader. And they say, who is Solomon? No, he's the son of Herod. He should have read Kings, you will know who Solomon is. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Oh, you are gone. Aha. So again, Jesus is not a New Testament character. Abraham met him. Noah knew him. David knew him. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand and make your enemies your footstool. David knew him. So whatever you're seeing as the character of Jesus is well explained by the prophets. Don't forget what we're looking at. We are looking at whose voice is this. So, our ability to read all of the scriptures is a skill to our spiritual growth. Our ability to read Genesis to Revelation, all of the scriptures, and to understand it is a skill of spiritual growth. How do I know I'm growing spiritually? Now I can explain all of the scriptures. Paul would say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop must be apt to teach. Apt to teach is not just the eagerness, it's also the understanding. A bishop must be apt to teach. There is nothing like, I am not called to teach, I am called to prophesy. You are a fraud. There is nobody in the entire Bible that was called to prophesy. Not one. Everybody God called to teach. Now, could they operate in varying gifts of the Spirit in greater dimensions than one than the other. Yes. We've had someone like John G. Lake who operated with the gift of healing more than prophecy or more than the working of miracles. But is he called to teach? Yes. Everybody is a teacher. And that's why we had a long teaching on the fivefold ministry, fourfold ministry, onefold ministry. Remember? And we answered the question, is he a fivefold ministry or is he a fourfold ministry or is it onefold? You know the answer, right? If you do not know, this year is a year, no grief for Satan. Is that not what I've been saying online? No grief for ignorance. Go to GHC Media. What teaching was there? Is it ministry gift? The church. Church and ministry gift. I thought it is in church and ministry gift. I don't think so. Church and ministry gift. Eh? The church and ministry gift. That's the title. I'm out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now only me witness this one. Someone should support me. Church and ministry. Alright, just find it. Find it on JC Media. It was well taught. I think it was a long teaching here. Yeah? And then we had series after that. Where we taught the ministry gifts. Who is a teacher? Who is a pastor? Who is a reverend? I think we even went to reverend, bishop, difference between pastor and reverend, bishop. Yes. Where we look at the Roman and the Greek. Abi? The Jews call it a pastor, while the Romans will call it a bishop. The Greeks will call it reverend and bishop. So we look at all of that. Because these days, you find someone who say reverend, pastor, doctor. How did you get to this one? So it's not just the eagerness, it is also the understanding to teach it. So again, the leading of the Spirit will be seen. If it's Christ leading us, then it's not going to be seen just in the New Testament, it's going to be seen from Genesis. So we want to look at the voice of God and how he leads us. Again, this is just pure introduction. I'm going to go into much details from next week. Again, let me start by saying, the basic things, you must be able to explain it. Like the leading of the Spirit. Every year we teach the leading of the Spirit. It has just come earlier this year. And last year too was early. It's about February. God has something to say. Maybe we'll start out that way. Now, the leading of the Spirit. Don't forget, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So I'm a son of God. No, you don't need to say daughter, don't worry. So I'm a son of God. sonship in the scriptures is not gender-based. Eh? I'm a son, I'm a daughter. I mean, before you say I'm a niece of God, or cousin, it's not gender-based. Again, sonship is by birth, or by inheritance, or by adoption. Someone say, how are we children of God? I said by adoption. Paul says by adoption unto sonship. He said in Romans, he says in Ephesians. He said, how are we sons by adoption? I said, was Moses not called the son of Pharaoh? Moses is the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Did she give birth to him? No. Yes, he's his son. He's her son. So again, that's by adoption. Just a very mirror look of what God was going to do into us in Christ. From damnation, he would rescue and make us his son. Again, we'll look at all of those later, much later on. Not in this teaching. Hallelujah. So, say, I am a son of God. So I'm led by the Spirit. Come on, say, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I am led by the Spirit. I am led by the Spirit. I am led by the Spirit. So God is big on speaking to people. God is big on speaking to people. Then, someone said, so why is he now always looking complicated? Why is he always looking complicated? People have dreams and then, they are afraid. I just had a dream. Say, is it God? Say, I don't know. Is it the devil? I don't know. I don't get dreams. Sometimes, maybe I forget. I don't know. But if you have dreams, I just sleep and wake up. Amen. Amen. No, you sleep by 3 o'clock and you have to wake up for prayer. You can't waste the 2 hours on dream again. Just quickly sleep and wake up. I know I cannot be wasting suspicion. You know? Is it God? I don't even know. In the dream, I just saw a lion's head. Maybe it's the Lion of Judah. We are going to look at who is talking exactly. Is God's voice complicated? No. You agree with me that humans are the ones that are complicated. Jeremiah 17. You learn something? Jeremiah 17. We were there some weeks ago when we were preparing for the retreat. But this time around, verse 9. The earth is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man, you know. Who can know it? Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Again, let me just say this one. The context of this verse is for a wicked man, not the righteous. Alright, so just to be clear. I've seen you say, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. In the name of Jesus, God's thoughts are my thoughts. Amen. Just to be clear, Neo, this is context for the wicked man. My thoughts are different from your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is far as higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and your ways, and my ways higher than your ways. Alright? So, but what we are saying is that the human heart, naturally, is what is complicated. And we're going to see, as we progress in this teaching, that God's voice is simple. So, God is dealing with humans with weaknesses, humans with flaws, with frailties. How many of you agree that you have flaws? I do. The earlier you admit it. Let me see your hands. You know you have flaws. You have weaknesses. Huh? I do. I know when they were toasting you, like they say you are perfect. You are 100/100. It's a lie. You know it's a lie. Amen. Sisters. And when he told you that you're 100/100, you know it's a lie. You're not 100/100. Okay. At least you believe your pastor. You're not 100/100. You are the righteousness of God in Christ too. But you have flaws. So if God is dealing with a human who has flaws, then it's not God's voice which is complicated. Look at Acts chapter 9. Let's dig in. Acts chapter 9. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now this is supernatural. If you don't believe it, maybe you should experience it. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Lord, he said, who are you, Lord? Something like saying, who are you, sir? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. It's hard for you to kill any preacher. But look at that. This is a man who was killing Christians. This is a man who was killing everybody that say, I believe in Jesus. And yet, he could hear God clearly. Say, I can hear God clearly. At least you have not started killing Christians, have you? So, hearing God is a simple thing. And the way a lot of people grew up thinking it's for pastors, it's pastors who can hear God. So, every time something happens, you run to the pastor. Sir, there is something. Help me hear God. Some people even pay. Because there was a man like that when I was in Ibadan. Came with money. I think I've shared the story before. Came with money to me and said, help me pray. Help me hear God. And I was looking like that. Should I collect this money? I needed money. So I wanted to collect the money and I was not going to pray. Come on. And then God told me, Omo, if this is where you start ministry, it's a long road for you. You know, this is not even temptation. This is stupidity. Ministry has not started. For prayer. Before you know it, you just go and buy candles. Like 24 different colors. Rainbow. LGBT. And start collecting money to see visions. So, I saw the future. And I said, no. I cannot do this. So, I told him, I said, don't worry, I will pray with you. But, take the money. He said, I just want to know what God is saying. And I told him, I said, you can know what God is saying. This is someone who is killing people. Who is killing people. God does not mind his voice. He talks to everybody. You know, the way some people, you think that God does not talk to unbelievers, you are lying. You think God talks by his voice, he minds it like data. You know the way some people want data. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. What's wallet, wallet? The message I sent out, then you couldn't put all the data again. Abba. Signing. Then you put off data again. When you want to sign out. Sign out. Wait, MTN is not fighting you. Hallelujah. God speaks to everyone. So, if someone who was persecuting the church could hear Jesus clearly, then you can. See how Paul now reiterates the story when he was telling it again. He said it again in Acts 22, but very vitally, he said it in Acts 26. That shows you something. When you truly meet with God, you keep saying it. He said in Acts 22, how we met Jesus on the road to Damascus. In Acts 26, he kept saying it. He said it again. How did you now say you had an encounter? I thought you said you had an encounter with Jesus. I thought you said you are a born again Christian now. I thought you said you are a believer in Christ now. How come you're not talking about it? Alright? But in Acts 26, importantly, you there now? In verse 14, and when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Now, when he's saying the story again, in Acts 9, he didn't put in the Hebrew tongue, but now, it's clearer. He says, Jesus spoke in the Hebrew tongue. That does not mean he should go learn Hebrew. What Paul is saying is that Jesus spoke to him in something he understands. A language he understands. Now, when you hear the word tongue in New Testament Greek, the word tongue can be two words. It's either the word glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A. You see that in Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, glossa, that's tongue, which oftentimes depicts talking. You know, I can talk to you and I don't expect a response. For example, right now, as we're talking, I am talking to you, I don't expect you to say, right on, Pastor. I don't expect you to talk back. I expect you to just understand what I'm saying and then write it down. And then assimilate and understand and go and build on it. Is it making sense? But did I still talk? Now, there's a talking. Sister Anuka, how are you doing? You're sure you're fine? You just made this air. It's fine. So if you want to tell her after the service that it's fine, I've already said it. Now go and sit down. Now, what did we just do? It's also tongue. But this time, it's not glossa. It's called dialectos. So, you find two Greek words for tongues. Glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A, and dialectos, D-I-A-L-E-K-T-O-S. D-I-A-L-E-K-T-O-S. Now, that's a conversation. So, when it says, Jesus spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue, dialectos. That is, we had a conversation. Who are you, sir? I am Jesus. That you persecute. No, I didn't persecute you. No, if you kill the church, you are killing me. He says, what Jesus had with me was a conversation. Let's look at the word dialectos again. In the book of Acts, you see it in, let me just confirm something. In Acts 2:6. Now, I gave an example in Acts 2:4 that, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. And we said, that is glossa. Abi? Where nothing has to be said back, they just were speaking in tongues. I could go, nothing has to be said back. I'm speaking in tongues. But look at Acts 2:6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. That word, speak in his own language, almost a compound word, is something we could communicate back. Something we understand to talk back. So God talks to you in a language you understand that you can talk back. Again, I'll make it simpler as we go on. Because oftentimes we think we misinterpret how God talks. And that is the genesis of the problem. And that's why a lot of people run about, go to mountains, go to prophets, because they feel like God speaks to special people. No, God does not. And I believe and trust God that this year you will hear God clearer than ever before. So, dialectos shows a common language. You're going to see it in Acts 22. So, Acts 2:6, Acts 22, verse 1 says, men and brethren, fathers, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. And verse 2, and when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, see that? When they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them. Why was that important? Because he was talking to Romans. But when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, or better still, he is Roman. Now, if he's now talking in another tongue, so they say, okay, let's listen to this guy. When they heard that he spoke in an Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence. Is that silence a response? A response to hear, Abi? To hear to respond. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Alright, good. Acts 21, verse 40. And when he had given them license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Again, so that's a dialectus, where a common language is used. Imagine I come here now and I start teaching you and I start saying, if you're a first timer, you just say, There is church and there is church. There's one church I just went to today. Organization of Mad People. OMP. This is the way Pastor was talking. Let me play the recording. But I am teaching in a language that you can converse with. So that when you see question in your study group, that's a response. A response to what I taught. Is it making sense? So when you add dialectos, dialectos is a conversational manner. And that's the way Paul told us that God talks. He said, he spoke to me in a dialectos. Almost as though God was expecting me to talk back. Almost as though God was expecting me to respond. I don't even understand what I'm saying. So God speaks to people in the things that they can have conversations in. He doesn't just communicate. It is from a conversational angle. God uses your language to talk to you. And look up. That is the reason why a lot of people don't know that it's God. That's why they doubt it. Because it sounds like you. You know what I'm saying? It sounds exactly like you. So if you, hope it's not myself I'm hearing like this. Hope it's not my likes. Hope it's not my pursuits and my ambitions I'm hearing. No. It talks to you in a language you can understand. When I used to act drama, some of you knew that. Now you have to know me from my teenage years to know that I used to act drama. And I think I was very good. Not to boast. I think I was very good with it. You know, that's something that when they act in drama now, they don't serve God. If you tell them that drama, then they say, no, that's a deal breaker for me. I cannot serve God. If you tell me that I cannot do drama, then that's the end. But I used to act drama. I doubt there was even anybody here that acted drama more than I did. Maybe only a while. That was where his nickname, Landlord, came from. Maybe I was one that even started it. I'm not sure. But we started calling him Landlord. He acted one drama as Landlord. Very nonsense. And in the drama, there's a way we always make God sound. It's two extremes. Is that you say, my son, why is God pitiable like this? Sometimes, if God speaks to me, like, I will not listen. This one, you tell me, go and preach, John now. That's it. So, you paint God in that light. Chukugazi, and it must be three times. Chukugazi, that's a talk now. In the book of Matthew, that's not how God talks. Because that's not how you talk. Or the extreme. It is I, Jehovah. When you want to talk to someone that you know, you say, it is I, Yemi. You don't talk like that. How do you think God talks like that? Drama. Too much drama is in your blood. So whose voice is this exactly? Paul said, and he spoke to me, when we were fallen, he spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? He spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue. And you know, some of us still think that way. Even when you want to give prophecy, your voice will not change. The moment you want to give prophecy, you have been speaking normally before. You say, the Lord says, the Spirit of the Lord. That's not how you were talking before. You were talking JJ. It's not Sadora. You used to talk so small now. But because you have a perception that the way God talks, it must be, you understand? We are holding two of us. They said, talk to you and your neighbor, edify one another. Who they will jaw me because God is talking. I speak to you! Speak to me, I'm here. Because we have a notion of how we think God must talk. But we have said, he talks in a dialectus. So, sometimes we complicate very simple things. So that's why you say sometimes, say, I just have a feeling. I just have a sensing. I just have a feeling. You have a feeling because you feel it is you. Because it sounds so much like you. But God uses your language. Now, that does not mean that God will now speak Igbo to you. Or speak Yoruba. Or Hausa. Now, to me, God can speak to me in Yoruba. And he has many times. Because I understand it very well. And I remember I told you what God told me. It was that 2021 when I spoke to the leaders downstairs, and God gave me, was it a proverb? You still use it. That was the exact way God told me. That was the exact way. I didn't hear it in English. He said, a plantain is spoiling, and you are saying it's ripening. That was what God said. And I heard it in Yoruba. So, will God talk to Chioma and say, okay, then back alone, come. You will need a prophet. You know, if you're not Yoruba, even if you are Yoruba, like Brosola's kind of Yoruba, you might not understand. Because he's half Igbo, half Efik, half, he's just scattered. He's not a Yoruba man. Forget his name, Shola. Hallelujah. And as some of you like that, Igbo, if God speaks to you in Igbo, you need interpretation of tongues. So, he speaks to you in a language you understand, and a language you can make a conversation in. When we were falling, he spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue, a dialectos. So, if you are part of the people who are used to saying things like, Mafo, you will like brush you. I like that you don't say Mafo. I saw you in retreat on the last day. Mafo, there's nothing wrong in there. No. If the people you preach to every time, if you preach in Ajegunle, all of that, and you want to win soul, and you're saying, I just thought to share with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you, and I thought that it's expedient. I beg, in the following talk, Maka, in the following, you will not get one disciple. So in those kind of places too, you have to. Paul says, when I go to Rome, I acted like a Roman. Amen. So if your everyday lingua, you say Mafo, don't be surprised if God wants to talk to you and he says Gbera. You know, I say, I rebuke you. I ban the devil. And you don't feel God can say Gbera. How can the Holy Ghost, Lord Almighty, say Gbera? Say, Bones, okay, Joe. Say, man, ride on. Go on, son. But who told you God cannot talk like that, if you talk like that? Don't forget where we're coming from. He speaks in a dialectus, in the language you understand, in the way you talk, in familiar voices. Okay, instead of Mafo, you said that God should say, thou shall not break. Eh? Or you KJV God. Or you should talk in Greek. Thou art a technon, indwelt by the pneumaticus. God does not speak like that, because you don't talk like that too. So he speaks in familiar voices that we can have conversation in. So God can actually use words like Bera. Okay? So relax. You know, some people think that God cannot make jokes. And I know God makes jokes. A lot. And I'm serious. I'm talking about my personal. You know, there are things that God tells me and I say, and I just laugh. Sometimes I'm uptight. And I know this is God talking. You know, God did like that to Moses. God read very well. If you follow your Bible study, Bible reading plan. You know, there was a time that Moses told the Israelites were saying that we were eating store stuffs in Egypt. We had meat, we had so. Why is it that? Yeah, it's only manna. And God told Moses, I can make onions grow out of these people's nose. That's a joke. That's obviously a joke. I said, by the time I finished with them, they will eat this food, it will grow out of their nose. You think God meant it that it will grow out of their nose? That's a joke. God can joke. So it's not as uptight as you think. You think he's a corporate God. He just wants to talk to you about salvation. If you like, he's not salvation, doesn't concern you again. He said, Leke, Shegun, Muti 1 year. Tola. No, that's not how God talks. So we have established something. We said God talks in a dialectos, right? That is language you understand and can communicate with, can make conversations in. Look at Genesis 3. Don't forget, Abraham, David, Genesis 3. You learning something? Come on, are you learning something? Alright. Genesis 3, verse 8. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. The word voice is the word call in the Hebrew tongue. Q-O-L is what sound. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves away from the presence of the Lord. So he called the voice of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, among the trees of the garden. And God called to Adam. Again, what was walking? The voice of the Lord. So the voice of the Lord called unto Adam, saying, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and I hid myself. Again, is that a conversation? So, God spoke to Adam in a language he can talk back in a familiar language. When you hear word Kol, K-O-L, which is the word voice there, it is used for clear speech. Clear speech. You find it used in Genesis 26:18, Genesis 26:5. So it gives the idea of a conversation between God and man. Hear the voice of the Lord, walk in, and the idea of a conversation. So let's put this to bed. Let's start with saying that. There's no definite way that God talks. He uses the voice you are used to. Let me say it again. There is no definite way that God talks. He uses the voice you are used to. Remember Samuel? Eh? He went to Eli and said, "You called me." And he went second time. "You called me." And Eli, by experience, knows what's happening. Says, next time you hear it, say, "Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord, your servant hears." But whose voice was he hearing? Eli. Was that God? Yes. But whose voice? Eli. In a voice you know. In a voice you are familiar with. So the simpler the voice, the more often it is God talking. The more familiar the voice, the more often it is God talking. Oftentimes, what we want to hear is a thunder. What we want to hear is a strange voice. I speak to you. I speak to you. And I say, go to the left. Or, go to the left. Go to the left. When you get to the left, go to the right. See, still small voice. Still small voice. But it's a lie. You don't hear a still small voice every day, do you? You don't hear a whisper every day. You don't converse in a whisper. So why do you think suddenly God has chosen to talk to you in that manner? No. It's in a voice you recognize. Oftentimes the voice of correction. The voice that corrects you every time. So I've been pastoring for a few days. And I've had people tell me over and over again that, "Pastor, you spoke to me in my dream." We are both in our sleep. If someone told me one time when I was on campus, said, "You came to my window at night. You were calling me at night." At night. Nah, I was not even on school. I went for a vigil. Say, no. "Pastor, I heard your voice." I said, "That's God talking to you?" But you know why God will use that? Because he knows that's the voice you listen to. Amen? So, if that's the voice you listen to, if that's the voice that's been leading you, if that's the voice that has been giving you instructions, then God is just going to start from there. The same voice that called Samuel to ministry, the same voice that has been teaching him God's word, then God decided to speak to Samuel. God just say, "Samuel!" Yeah, it's not say, No. It's just the voice of Eli. That's why he could run to Eli and say, "Baba, you called me." Eli said, "I just finished it, I don't call you. When I'm ready, I'll call you to come and part with." He said, "No. You called me and you are saying something about Israel." Eli said, "Israel. Let me go right here, Israel. Next time you hear it, say, 'Lord, speak.'" So he speaks to us in very familiar tones. So one of the litmus is the more familiar the voice is, the likelier it is God talking to you. Again, we are looking at the leading of the Spirit, actually talking about sounds. We still look at sight. So therefore, God uses languages and voices that you may recognize well. So like I said earlier, the simpler it is, the more likely it is of God. So the voice of God oftentimes is the voice of man. Now, what I mean by that is not that what man is saying is what God is saying. The voice of God oftentimes it sounds like the voice of a man. It does not sound spiritual. It does not sound spooky. It does not sound like something. It sounds exactly the way I'm talking to you. Now, some of you must have heard my voice before as a leader. Anyone? Come on. Let me see. It has to happen. It's not strange. It's not strange. Amen. Yeah. That's why sometimes you must have heard God talk to you in your own voice. And that's why you're asking yourself, "Who's talking? It's not me. How else do you want God to talk to you? That's your voice." You say, Abi is my thinking. Abi. And I will tell you why you have that conundrum and why you have that issue of thinking that who's talking. We will get there. And it will be broken this year in Jesus' name. So again, the voice of God is not darkness. It doesn't bring confusion. If there's confusion, the confusion is in the mind of man. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Read verse 15. Take you therefore good heed to yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Now, he's talking to an entire congregation. He's talking to the entire Israel and says, the Lord spoke unto you at Horeb. Again, it's not the loudness, it's the clarity. That is, God said something that all of us understood. It's not about how loud it was. Mm-mm. It was about how clear it was. I told you this about 7 years ago, that the voice of the Spirit is clarity. How many remember? How many were there in the teaching? Let me see, how many hands? You are there. Stop, put that hand down. You are not there. 2017. I said, the voice, I know I repeated it again when I said the voice, but the first time I said it, that the voice of the Spirit is accuracy, precision, remember, and clarity. That when the Holy Ghost talks, it's about how clear it is. So, if there is no clarity, sometimes you need to put it on the left hand. When God speaks to you, you will see that it's clear. So Moses said, remember when God spoke to you at Horeb. Again, it's not about how loud God's voice is. Don't forget, this is not Nollywood. This is not drama. This is not, children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel. No, it necessarily will not call you 3 times, because you're not used to people calling you 3 times. Except God is using the voice of your mom. Hello, Mokye. Amen. Amen. Aha. Uh-huh. But if you think that God is just going to come to you and you start saying, my son, my son, my son, thou shalt do well too. God doesn't talk like that. He's going to talk to you in a language you understand and can what? Converse in. Can make conversation with. So again, when we get to a crossroad, if we get to a crossroad where we are looking at who is talking, is this the voice of God? Is this my voice? Is this the devil? Then one of the things we must put is that, number one, God talks to me in a familiar voice. Number two, also the devil talks in a familiar voice. Let's just be clear. The devil spoke to Adam through Eve. So, we'll get to that one. God talks in his familiar voice. Don't forget, I told you during the retreat that everything that God does, the devil counterfeits. It's not new. The devil does not have any new invention. If God says this thing, just say, as God said that you will not, it's just counterfeit. What teaching was that during the retreat? Beware of little foxes, alright. If you are not there, you are sleeping that time. Little fox, come on here. Go and listen to it. It's out now. Free. Alright, beware of little foxes. Go and listen to that. You know, I said, everything God does, devil counterfeits. He uses the same thing. Look at God. You know this LGBT thing? That rainbow, it's God that gave it. And who gave rainbow? This year, very, very later, we are going to talk about the rainbow. The rainbow, when God speaks to you, or when God gives you his word. I'm going to teach on it. I'm led to. In fact, I still had it almost close to prayer time today. In my sleep, God was teaching me something. And I'm going to, maybe, probably later, October, November. I believe we are going to look at it very well. We have a lot to teach on the rainbow. Look at what the devil has done with the rainbow. The same rainbow that God has said, because of this, I will not destroy the world with flood. That's what some people are saying is a flag. And I just laugh. This is the product of mercy. This logo is a product of mercy. Because Moses or Elijah, they would have done something with this logo. Amen. Amen. Where are we? So God talks in a familiar voice. We settled that. Then second, we said, God talks and it is clear. There is no confusion when God is speaking to you. We said, in Deuteronomy 4:15, we saw that it is not the loudness. There's no one voice that will be loud enough for all Israel. 2 million people to hear when there's no microphone. It is not the loudness, it is the clarity. Look at Matthew 17. You know something? Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, these people were sleeping. Don't forget the context. They just came back from sleep. This is my son, who I am well pleased. Hear you him. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Familiar voices. Familiar voices. Familiar voices. The voice they heard was the voice of Christ. So, they saw, they didn't see anybody. They said, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Is there anybody talking that you're not here? Alright? Whatever you understand from that, just hold it. I won't go beyond that. So, God's voice is clear to me. Oh, wow. I thought you said that very well. God's voice is clear to me. You know, E.W. Kenyon said something. He said that the first step of hearing God in any believer's life starts by affirming that you can hear it. It starts with affirming and recognizing that you can hear it. He said the moment you think that it's not for you, then it might be very difficult for God to talk to that person. And so, one of the things you're going to do strongly in your walk of faith is that you must always affirm it. I know God's voice. I recognize it. It talks to me. It talks to me. I don't have issues hearing it. You know, people that, they tell you, I just have issues hearing God. Now, I understand that in your mind you think you are being pragmatic, you are being realistic, but no. You are shortchanging yourself in your faith. No, God's voice is clear to me. It's like you don't need it. God's voice is clear to me. This year and beyond. In the name of Jesus, I recognize God's voice. I recognize God's voice. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. God's voice is clear to me. God's voice is clear to me. God's voice is clear to me. I don't have issues hearing God. So, the first thing about hearing God is faith-based. It's your faith life. Look at John chapter 12. I'll close on this. Don't forget, this is just introduction. We are looking at how to recognize God's voice. Whose voice is this? Is this God talking? Is it me? Is it my experiences? We also can look at, can God use our experiences to talk to us? And we'll get there. We'll get there. John chapter 12. Verse 27. Now, my soul is troubled. Jesus is just talking. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and now glorified again. The people therefore that stood by heard it and that he thundered. Now that thunder is a sign. That's not the voice that he thundered. And some said, an angel spoke to him. Now, can God speak to an unbeliever? I told you earlier. Eh? Was Paul saved when God spoke to him? God can talk to an unbeliever. Is he keeping malice with God? He's not keeping malice with God. God can talk to him. And God can speak to anyone to help you. You believe that? Okay. So he talks to everyone. You got that? Some around heard, and he said, an angel speaks to me. So even those who are unbelievers, they could hear God. How much more one born of the Spirit of God? Pray for me as I close. So where then is the clash? Where is the clash? Why do I have issues? Why do I sometimes not know who is talking? Why do I sometimes not have an idea if this is God or not? You remember that's where we started from, Abby? But we have so far concluded on some things. We said, God speaks in what? Familiar voices that you can have conversations in. If you understand Yoruba very well, it's very likely that when God wants to speak to you, he can speak in Yoruba. He's not a Jewish God. He belongs to the world. He is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. God can speak to you in Calabar voice. He can speak to you in Urobo. He can speak to you in Pidgin. In familiar languages, in familiar tones, in familiar voices. So stop looking for what is not lost. Stop looking for the spooky, dramatic voice. The Lord God Almighty is here. He is speaking to you today. If I hear that one, I'll lose it. I bind you. How can God be this dramatic? In voices you can hear conversation. Don't forget, we do as Nile and Paul, Abby says, and the Lord Jesus spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue, saying, and I responded. And we're going to look at that part of the leading of the Spirit, where we ought to respond to the leading of the Spirit. And that's why you see the most of the songwriters say, I say yes. I say yes. When you lead me, there's a response. It's not just directional. It's not a sign language. No. It is conversational. And one of the things God wants to do with you this year is that he wants your way to be accurate. He wants to lead you precisely. Enough of the guesses. Enough of throwing dice. Enough of guessing and saying, is this what God wants? Is this where I should be? Is this what I should be doing? Enough. God wants to lead you accurately. He wants to lead you accurately in January, in February, in March, in April, May, June, July, August, in September, October, November, December. In every of the 366 days, God wants you to know His voice. And He wants you to follow His voice. And that's what you do. Because His voice will be clear to you. So, where is the clash? You said the clash will be in man's mind. And that's why some cases, because you discover a man, the same man is watch Netflix so much. You have books that you read, they are not, it's not glorious living, it's not faithful living, it's not whatever living, it's not glorious house church, it's not novels. After compounding all of those things, I say, why am I hearing another voice? Because you put in another voice. So, if you read novels so much, it's very likely that those novels will come back to you somehow. Dream, thoughts, and they can sound like leading. Especially if they are philosophers. Amen. Imagine a philosopher talking. You know, it can sound like leading. Because it's going to be so smart and wise and logical. But that's not God. But you are the one that put that one in your life. So you have to be careful of the things you put. You have to be careful of the things you soak in. If you want to hear God more, then listen to Him more. I always tell people that when you, and a lot of people, when they want to get married, that they now start looking for the voice of the Spirit about. The voice of the Spirit that has been talking to you all these years, suddenly now, you now want to hear God. I've seen people take pictures. You take five pictures of five men. This one is a pastor. Don't bother praying about it. It's not God's will. This one is a banker. This one is an engineer. This one is a lawyer. This one is a doctor. That pastor. Well, it's not God's will. I know. It's fine. Pastor too does not want you. Amen. And you say, pray about them. Why are you just praying about them? And I've taught you the leading of the Spirit, especially concerning marriage before. I've taught you the role of the leading of the Spirit. Maybe I'll mention it again over and over again as this teaching progresses. But why are you suddenly looking for the leading of the Spirit now? It should be part of your everyday Christian living. Not just when seemingly life-changing decisions are about to be made. So again, be careful of what you soak in. And I trust God that His leading is yours. I trust God that His voice is clear. Every day in the morning, you always know what to do. You walk in the light every time. Oh, you don't walk in darkness. Yours is light. You walk in His plan. You know His voice. I know how God talks. When He talks, I respond. Cause I know His voice. Every day I am led by His voice. There's no confusion in my mind. There's no darkness in my thoughts. My road is clear. My head is clear. In the name of Jesus. This same Jesus I serve. This same Jesus I worship. I know His voice. He instructs me. He directs me. He leads me. I don't walk in mistakes. I don't walk by guesses. His voice is accurate. It is clear. It is precise. And don't forget, the devil sometimes can masquerade God's voice and talk to you like it's God. But you know His voice. And that's why he said in John 10, he said, see, these are my sheep. They know my voice. The voice of the stranger, they will not follow. You will not follow the voice of the stranger. 2024. As we walk on, the voice of the Lord is clear to you. Pray for yourself. Familiar conversational voices.
I walk in the light. I see in the light. Don't walk Barabbas. I walk in the light as he is.
Amen.
I'm just going to say this. Now, growing up, because I'm still growing up, yeah? But when I was much younger, I used to rush back from the from church to watch Pastor Adeboye. He used to be on the Broadcasting Corporation of Oyo State from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock every Sunday. It was 1 o'clock to 2 or 2 to 3. 1 to 2. And I would rush back from church to watch him, then rush back to church again. And I used to be in church around 4 or 5 p.m. So it's not now that you just see me leaving church late. I used to leave church late. Whether anything's happening or not, I'll not stay and leave late. But I'll first go home and watch him on BCOS. And growing up, I used to see him. And he's always saying, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy." And the first time I saw him, I said, "Where's the Daddy?" And he said, "My daddy said there's somebody here." And he said something. And as he's teaching, he'll say it again. As teaching, he'll say it again. I said, "God is talking to this man." And later on, I encountered the one teaching by Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. And he was talking, firstly by Pastor Chris Okotie. He was talking about the leading of the Spirit, but I didn't understand very well. But now I do what he was saying that day. But Pastor Chris Oyakhilome made it really clear. Now, in those days, these were like contrabands. Pastor Chris Okotie, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, contrabands for a young teenager like me. But I used to sneak. I had the disc. I used to buy the disc at Okebola. Pastor Matthew Ashimolu had a bookstore where they give 50% off every Friday. So we queue there, and myself and my friends will have saved up to buy books and buy discs. And my mom was not see that disc because she didn't like Pastor Kuzuyakilu because of the air. So I would sneak, would listen to. So I remember one day he was talking about the leading of the Spirit and how God leads, and he said that there was someone in that meeting. He said quite a number of things. And then the person, two people came out. And he said, "It's not you, it's you." And he said, "For you to know it's you. You came from so. Your brother is seated at the back." And I was like, "Whoa! How did this man know? How did this man know?" And I began to put two and three. And so, you know, the devil comes to you and says, "No, that, these people, they already know people that they want to call. They already have clinical." Call. But one day I went to a meeting. It was Pastor Christian Kilomers meeting. And he called me out by the word of knowledge. And now I said, now you cannot tell me otherwise. I didn't tell him about myself, so he knows me. And the day we met in his office at Ikeja, I was telling him, I said, "Sir, you've called me out before to pray for me." He said, "Okay, that's good, young evangelist." But that shows you that God speaks to people. And growing up like that, I said, if God speaks to people, then he can talk to me. That's what I told myself. And I deliberately said, "You know what? I am not going to do ministry till God start talking to me directly." And he talked to me. Amen. Of course, I was too young to undo some things. And I was calling out witches, calling out different things. If you don't answer, if I call you and you don't answer, I'll say, "Roll number 5. Hey, why are you in one meeting like that?" I think you were there. It was a Saturday. What benches, eh? I can say, "Roll is down." This is what I'm saying, is long ago. If I say, "Why?" And then I call you, "Why?" He's an old man. And I call you, "Why?" You know, that's a long, long story. You know, I'll just say, "Roll number 5. You are sitting on the 4th. If the person is not answering, I will just leave. No, normally now I'll not talk again. I'll just say, "Okay, that's all." But I realized that God has started talking to me. And I told myself, "I'm going to sharpen this more. I'm going to work in this more. Because I don't want to make mistakes." Amen. But you know, you also can hear God. I mean, it's not for some Christians. It's not for some people. It's what every believer can do. If Paul, while he was killing Christians, can hear the voice of Jesus. If the disciples, while they were sleeping, when they were praying, they can hear Jesus. You can hear Jesus. So we're going to pray. My ears are sharp. No one was one of the things that God told us in the retreat. Abi? Eh? That our hearing is sharp. Abi? Eh? Remember, our hearing is sharp. To discern the voice of the Lord. To follow after His voice. His voice is clear. Amen. Amen. How many of you, if you hear my voice, you, anywhere you recognize my voice? Huh? I remember one brother called me from Port Harcourt. No, I called him. And he was like, "Hello, who is talking?" I said, "Hear me."
Say, Yemi from Lagos. Yemi, 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 Yemi.
Pastor! I said, hey, money, calm. Calm down. You know, you could hear, understand, you could hear my voice. There was someone I called. Who was that? It was in church. And I said, so you hear, you know my voice. Who's that? It was recently, like last month. It's one of you, Jerry. I called you and I said, so you know my voice. But who was the best I called? It was someone in church. I just called randomly. I think it's Sabine Bola. Sorry, I can't remember again. I call randomly. If I've not called you, your time will come. Maybe 2025, maybe 2027. I'll call you one day. As long as you are in this church. One day it will reach your turn. Amen. It's one per month. Sometimes so. I'll call you. Eh? So one, if you see an unexpected number, the pastor is a lie. It's the money you borrowed. I'm just kidding. You not borrow money. So I want to hear your voice, Jesus. I want it to be clear. Amen. The way you hear the voice of a neighbor, you say, ah, that's Daddy Jesus talking. The way you hear the voice of your teacher, you say, ah, that's my lecturer. The way you hear the voice of your pastor, you say, that's pastor. God, your voice is clear to me. When you are talking, I will know it is you. My path is clear. It is straight. I know when you are talking. I don't miss God. I pray for yourself. Just 5 minutes. My ears are sharp. Seeing eyes and hearing ears. I walk by faith, not by guesses. Clarity is mine. In the name of Jesus. It's a year of hearing God's voice. Of being led by the Spirit of God. Or being led by the Spirit of God. My sheep know me. They hear my voice. The voice of the stranger they will not follow. I will not follow the voice of the stranger. God's voice is mine. To be led by. The devil does not trick me. I don't follow counterfeits. That simple voice, I can recognize it. I'm not confused. In the name of Jesus. You are not too young to hear God's voice. You are not too old to hear God's voice.